is the Beersmith Home Brewing Show, where brewing great beer is our passion. If you want to take your brewing to the next level, visit beersmith.com, where you can download a trial version of our Beersmith software, subscribe to the newsletter, and get dozens of free articles on home brewing. And now, your host and the author of Home Brewing with Beersmith, Brad Smith.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Beersmith Podcast number 62. We got a great show for you today. We're going to be talking about cleaning and sanitation with the head of Five Star Chemicals. I'd like to apologize for the significant delay between episodes here. We had the American Homebrewers Conference, National Homebrewer Conference, which I went to, and then followed that up with a little vacation. I had the opportunity for all you scouts out there to go to Philmont Scout Ranch with my son. Went backpacking for a couple weeks, and now I'm just getting back. And getting back into the swing of things, but hoping to get back on a regular schedule and publish an episode every 2 weeks. And now, without further ado, let's jump into this week's episode. Today on the show, my guest is John Herskovitz. John is a chemical engineer from the University of Colorado. He's been at Five Star Chemicals for 10 years, developing cleaners and sanitizers and helping brewers worldwide. And he just returned from Belgium, where he taught a class in cleaning and sanitation. John, it is great to have you on the show.
Thanks, Brad.
You've been running Five Star Chemical for some time, which, you know, supply all kinds of stuff, including PBW and Star San. Why is sanitation so important for homebrewers?
Well, first off, the quality of the beer that the homebrewer is making is directly proportionate to whether or not he has clean equipment to begin with. As a home brewer myself, I know that you spend a lot of time and energy and money into this hobby and developing this beer. And if you don't clean and sanitize properly in the beginning, it's a real bummer when your beer turns out bad. So the most important thing is to start off with clean and sanitary equipment.
So what are some of the risks that home brewers run into when they don't sanitize properly?
Well, The obvious answer is they get infected beer. If you get a off flavor, off odor in the beer, that's the number one risk. The good thing is there is no known pathogen that lives in beer. So all home brewers out there, or even large breweries that screw up and do by some chance get infected, they can rest assured that they're not going to kill anyone.
Oh, that's good. What are some of the common off flavors? You know, so let's say I get a beer that that hasn't been sanitized properly. What might it taste like?
So you get sour. You can get something that tastes like vinegar. You can get butterscotch. The dimethyl sulfide that comes from it tastes like cream corn, maybe cabbage. Diacetyl, yummy. Which would be butterscotch. Some people actually kind of go for those. Nowadays, the sour beers are kind of the end thing, and those are by definition infected beers. But
they're purposely infected, though, right? If you make a sour beer,
exactly,
you did it on purpose, not accident.
You know, the clovers. You can get some astringency, which is not necessarily good. We want bitterness, but we don't want astringency, and those can come from bad bacteria.
Excellent. So what's the difference between cleaning and sanitizing? A lot of people don't even know there are two processes there.
That's so true. The number one thing that you have to do when you clean is you have to remove the soil. The reason you have to remove dirt is because bacteria will live underneath of it. So if you put in cleaning means to remove the soil. Sanitization means to kill or reduce the microorganisms to a level at which they're not going to be harmful, and the chemical residue that is left will not be harmful as well. So there's two separate parts. If you put the sanitizer directly on top of the soil without removing the soil first, it's not going to work.
So when you say soil, I assume you're talking about dirt or buildup or grime or leftover grains, for example?
Yes, soil comes in two forms, organic and inorganic. The organic soils obviously come from the beer, the grain, oils, proteins that we purposely put in there. And then you get inorganic soil, which actually is known as beer stone, which is calcium, magnesium. It comes from the water. Both of those soils are not intended to be on the equipment. And so they're left over from the previous batch.
So, I mean, I got people that say, hey, I don't need to clean my, my chiller, for example. I'm going to just drop it into the Word and it gets sanitized there. Don't worry about it. Not true, right?
Not true. Not true. No, there's definitely not true.
People do it.
Yes. People do stupid things.
Yeah. Well, let's start with cleaning then. So people, obviously we established that you have to clean it before you sanitize it. What are some of the common products that are good for cleaning, and what are some of the advantages of using those?
For most breweries, the common products, large breweries are going to use caustic. The caustic will saponify any of the oils and fats and removes the product.
So what does that mean? I'm not familiar with saponifies.
Yeah, to take it one step further, it's an ester hydrolysis. What it means is it removes the oils and fats. Okay. So it's the step the caveman back in the day took ash from the fire, which is potassium carbonate. They actually mixed it in with the fat from animal hides with the fire, and they made soap, hence the saponification term. And what that does is it basically creates a chain with the fat and pulls it into soil. So oils and fats are insoluble in water.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the water cannot remove the fat. So what you need to do is you need to put in an alkaline product. Sodium hydroxide is caustic. You have some non-caustic alkaline cleaners. PBW is one. A lot of people use OxyClean, bleach. Mm-hmm. Bleach is normally used as a sanitizer. So we can get into a lot of the different products that are out there, but the number one product is an alkaline product. Whether it's caustic or non-caustic, it needs to have enough alkalinity to saponify and remove the organic soils.
So like lye, for example, we used to talk about, people used to make soap out of lye, right?
Correct.
Because it was alkaline.
That's the lye is sodium hydroxide.
Excellent.
So that is caustic. Yes. That's basically what a lot of the large breweries are using as a form of that, to clean their equipment.
So, you probably don't want to use common household soap though, right?
Correct. Use common household soap. Well, most common household soaps and cleaners, have fragrances in them. Those fragrances are actually oil-based, which are counteracting the purpose, and you don't want any of those left around that are going to mess up the flavor of the beer. The other reason is materials. You want products that are specifically designed for the plastics and for the stainless steel that you're going after. And the you want products that have enough concentration and are specifically designed food safety. Certain chemicals are great to clean the bathroom, but they're not necessarily great if you ingest them and eat it. So OxyClean, for example, a lot of people use OxyClean. They find out that there are some disadvantages to it. It's specifically designed as an additive to laundry. Well, it does a great job to make Tide laundry soap work better. But as itself, to clean out brewing equipment, there's some deficiencies in it. It doesn't quite have enough alkalinity. It doesn't have the chelators. So alkalinity is just one thing to saponify soaps. You also have surfactants to make the water wetter. You have chelation, which will remove the inorganic soils that normally don't get removed in an alkaline environment. So cleaning on the alkaline side is a lot more complicated than most people think. And if they just go grab a common household cleaner, Lysol, for example, and try to go use it, it's probably not going to do
dish soap.
Dish soap, even, yeah, then they're going to have a lot of elbow grease involved.
Yeah. So let's talk about specifics, though. Let's say you want to clean plastic.
Okay.
Let's say you're a beginning brewer. You're brewing in a big bucket. What's the best way to clean plastic? I know it's hard because plastic's porous.
Yes, it is. My favorite. I work for Five Star, but I'm just going to flat out say it. My favorite two products are PBW and Star Sand. Mm-hmm. Not only because I make them, but I think that they're the best products.
Okay.
So cleaning plastic or stainless steel, I would use PBW. It's a great product that goes in and cleans it.
Is there any risks, anything you shouldn't use with certain materials?
I would definitely keep PBW away from Teflon. Mm-hmm. It can remove Teflon coated pans.
I heard there's some things you don't use bleach with, for example.
Exactly. I don't like bleach in my plastic because it'll actually break the plastic down. Anything with chlorine in it. That's a lot of other common household chemicals have a chemical called sodium hypochlorite. If you see that down in there, that is actually bleach. That's common household bleach.
Right.
And that product will break and brittle the plastic.
So don't use bleach with your plastic. What about sanitizing? First of all, when we talk about sanitizing, what kind of bugs are we worried about killing off? How does sanitizing actually work?
Sanitization. Sanitization is defined as removing the microorganisms to a certain level where they're safe. So it basically is killing the bugs. The bugs that we're worried about killing are common molds, mildews, gram negatives, gram positive bacteria, and wild yeast strains. You have bacteria on you right now. We naturally have
bacteria. No, I just took a shower, John. I don't have any.
I'm sure you don't. I played around in the lab one time and I was trying to do some killing studies to see which sanitizers were working better. And in my lab, I have a hard time getting things to grow because I have so many sanitizers around. And the best thing I did was I stuck the swab inside my mouth to get the cultures to grow. And I plated that. And that was the best organisms I could get to grow.
Yeah, I go over to the high school occasionally and see this thing all the time where they they grow the bacteria and then they test which which cleaners, yep, which sanitizers work best. But
those bacteria are everywhere. And what a lot of homebrewers, the number one place to brew is in the garage, right next to the trash cans.
Absolutely.
The number two place is in the laundry room, right next to the dirty clothes. So both of those are the number one source of bacteria and microorganisms around in your house. And those are things that can spoil your beer.
Absolutely. So let's talk about sanitizing for a minute. What is, what good is sanitizing? What's good for sanitizing and what are some of the advantages, disadvantages?
Well, sanitizing is actually governed by law. The EPA, federal government, controls what can and cannot be used as a sanitizer. Many things kill, but the key thing with sanitizing is you want it to be a no rinse. If you rinse, there actually is bacteria that's in our drinking water. So if you put a product on them that's going to kill the bugs and then rinse it off with water, you've now reintroduced a source of bacteria. So it's not only killing the bugs, but it's also not going to leave a residue that's harmful for us. So bleach can work. It does kill. The problem is it can be harmful to equipment and it can actually infect the flavor of the beer. You can get off odors and off flavors from the chlorine in itself. Another one that people use, hydrogen peroxide or peroxyacetic acid. Again, it works. It's great, environmentally friendly. Problem is if you get that on your skin, it's going to hurt really bad. And the other problem a lot of big breweries are running into is any extra peracetic acid that may be in the equipment, it actually is an oxidizer. So it can cause oxidizing problems when you bottle your beer.
Oh, wow.
Which isn't good. And they're tracing down a lot of oxidation issues in the bottling process to the sanitizer. So I'm not a big fan of that one either. Iodine's a great product, except for one thing.
Yeah, something like iodophore, right?
Correct, iodophores. Iodophores were specifically designed for the medical field from the philosophy that when it's red, it's dead. Mm-hmm. If you cover it with the iodine, you know that it's working and sanitizing.
Well, I know I like to do an iodine test, make sure my master's complete, but tell me why I shouldn't use it as a sanitizer.
The number one reason why I don't like it is because it turns everything orange. If you have see-through clear plastic tubing, it's no longer clear in plastic.
No, that's true.
Some people have allergic reactions to the iodine, and iodine is a halogen just like chlorine. Therefore, it can cause the same off odors and flavors that chlorine can cause in the beer. It's usually not as noticeable as chlorine. Usually at a lower threshold, chlorine will infect the beer. Iodine, you have a higher threshold, but it's still there.
So what do you recommend?
Did I just not recommend anything? Let's see here.
Well, we went through bleach. We went through
quats. Iodine. The biggest problem with quats are that they are high foaming, but they work really, really good.
What's a quat?
Quaternary ammonia, sodium, an alkyl benzyl chloride. So they're probably not most, they're not on the market in home brewing industry. I think they're mostly in large breweries and food processing, commercial areas. The number one product that I would recommend would be an acid anionic. That is like Starsan and Santoclean are the two products that I'm aware of on the in the field. Mm-hmm. A great thing about an acid anionic is as long as the pH is below a 3.5, it's doing its job. Right. So the biggest problem with Starsan is that it's a high foaming product. That's why we have Santoclean, which is a low foaming product. But it's a wonderful, wonderful animal because the surfactant, the anionic surfactant, opens up the cell wall, which allows the acid to come in and kill it from the inside out. And it breaks down the yeast and the wort and the yeast. When you add the yeast to the wort, it will break down any residual Starsan that happens to be left on the wall. So ideally you clean the you clean your equipment, you rinse it, you put your sanitizer in, and any foam that's left over, you know, ideally you let it dry, but if you don't let it dry, it's okay, because once you put the wort on top of it, the pH is going to raise above 3.5, which deactivates the sanitizer. And the yeast is going to break down any of the residual sanitizer and turn it into a yeast nutrient.
Very cool. Well, I know some agents are good with certain materials. Is there any agents we have to worry about when working with stainless steel, plastic, and so on? Is there certain combinations that work well and don't work well?
With stainless steel, the chlorines, again, just like with the plastic, you have to be careful with chlorines. On stainless steel, you need to be careful. So
you probably want to stay away from something like bleach, right? With stainless steel?
Correct. Yeah. I'm not a big fan of bleach. You can use it. If used correctly, you can do it. You have to get a little dangerous there, or a little careful. There are some people that are trying to acidify bleach, putting vinegar into the bleach to make it work better. And I warn everyone, do not do it. Yes, it can be done. Yes, I know how to do it to allow it to be done. But if you acidify the bleach too much, you'll create chlorine gas and kill yourself. So that's definitely not good.
I don't want to do that.
No, not good. The with stainless steel, the other thing that it's a pretty good product. You always want to leave it in an acidic state, though, meaning you want to follow it up with an acid and then let it air dry. That air drying will repassivate the stainless steel. If you
How do you do that? How do you
repassivate stainless steel? John Palmer has a wonderful section on that. I think in his How to Brew book.
Okay,
but basically it's clean. For large commercial breweries, we would use a phos nitric blend with an oxidizer. Clean the product with an alkaline. Come back with a good nitric acid based product. And passivate the stainless steel.
So what if you're a home brewer, though?
If you're a home brewer, I don't sell nitric acid to home brewers because it's dangerous. Yeah. So the best advice is to clean it really, really good. Use an acid-based product. You could use Starsan. You could use citric acid or oxalic acid.
Okay.
And then don't rinse it with water. Let the acid just dry onto the surface and then let it air dry for a couple of weeks. Wow. If you did about 3 to 4 weeks, that will repassivate the stainless steel and it'll cure itself.
Interesting. And is that's important, I assume, after you brew?
You need to do it every couple of times. Brand new equipment should be passivated. You have an initial passivation. And then if, for example, you got rust in your stainless steel, a lot of people don't realize that stainless steel isn't really stainless. You can rust it. There is iron in there. Through different types of galvanic corrosion. If you leave a metal spoon, two different types of metals together, you will corrode and it'll break down that passivation layer and put in a layer of rust. Then you have to remove the rust and then repassivate it.
Is this kind of like the layer you get on aluminum? You know, you get kind of that dark layer around aluminum?
Some
people still have aluminum pots.
I hate aluminum.
Well, there's a lot of people that buy aluminum pots, though.
There are a lot of people that buy aluminum. They're on
discount after Thanksgiving, you know.
The aluminum oxide is actually not good. When your aluminum turns black, please do not brew in it. It's not good. And cleaning aluminum pots, do not use PBW. Do not use star sand. Do not use any anything but like a straight dishwashing surfactant, like a Dawn dish detergent. That's the only thing you should use on aluminum.
For cleaning. Now, how do you sanitize aluminum?
Good luck.
Hard to do, huh?
It is very hard to do.
Fortunately, most people are using aluminum pots, so they don't have to worry about...
Yeah, you're boiling it, yeah.
They're boiling it, so they don't have to worry about sanitation as much, obviously. And then when you go to a keg or anything that actually contacts fermenting or finished beer, typically it's not aluminum, but...
I don't recommend fermenting in an aluminum container.
Right.
The yeast can actually pull off. The aluminum is a very soft metal and will actually produce a metallic flavor into the beer itself. Sanitizing the aluminum, the only thing that I could think of would be a quaternary ammonia that is a neutral. You need a neutral pH, something that's right around 7, and that will sanitize it. You could probably use iodine as well. Iodine might work as long as the pH was pretty neutral to get the job done. Do not use bleach. You could use an acid anionic, but you run the risk of turning the pot black and oxidizing it and causing more harm to the pot than good.
Right. Which actually brings us to our very next question, which is, where in the process we have to worry about cleaning and sanitation. So let's sort of walk through the brewing process and talk about how you might apply here. Let's start with mashing.
So in most home brewers, I tell everyone to clean everything, no matter what it is, just clean it. If you're going to boil water, more than likely that pot is pretty clean, but you may want to run a good alkaline product in there just to get rid of anything.
Depends on how well you cleaned it last time you brewed too.
Exactly. But your mash kettle, you're going to clean it. I would clean it with PBW. That's my favorite. But you clean your mash. You don't need to sanitize it. You really don't need to sanitize anything until you get to your fermenter, because the kettle is going to kill anything. However, it really depends on your process. I clean and sanitize everything because my equipment is all stainless steel, and so I want to. Even though I clean it with PBW, which is an alkaline product, I want my equipment left in an acid condition, so I always run an acid like star sand through there just to put it back. So after I brew, I clean it, hit it with a little star sand, and put it on the shelf and let it sit there.
So then clean everything and then sanitize anything that touches the wort after the boil, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Fermenter spoons, but a lot of people miss scissors, spoons that they're going to stir with. Anything that's going to touch it, thermometers, absolutely.
Actually, another question I had just off the top of my head, but what do you use to clean something like a counterflow wort chiller? I know a lot of people have a hard time, they get really worried about when you got a lot of beer, a lot of wort flowing through something like a counterflow chiller. How do you really get that clean? How do you really get it sanitized?
So I clean it with the same chemicals I clean everything else with. And it, depending upon the product you're using, but you can clean those two ways. You can soak it, stick it in there and soak it, or you can flow the cleaner through the wort chiller, just like you would flow your beer through it. But what I always do is I put a valve on the outside and you want to restrict the flow. And that restricting the flow will allow the cleaner to get into areas that it may not normally be able to get to if it was just flowing straight through it.
And I assume you do the same thing with pumps. I know that's another area where...
Exactly. Exactly. Packing a heat exchanger. A wort chiller is basically a heat exchanger.
Right.
And you can fill it with a solution of PBW. The Blickman... wort chillers that they have, yep. Terminators, is that the name of it?
Terminator, I think is what it is. Yeah.
Those, a lot of other ones. We've done corrosion studies and everything, and they're perfectly fine to be cleaned with PBW and followed up by star sand. And that's what I use. And it the important thing is to remember the chemicals can only work on the surfaces and the soils that they touch. So if there's a bend and the fluid is flowing way too fast around a corner, it'll miss the inside of the corner because the gravity and the force will push it to the outside. And so you'll miss the inside. Same thing with a wart chiller. People sometimes flow way too fast through wart chillers. So slow it down, restrict the flow, pack it, leave it in there for an hour. Some people even leave the chemical in overnight.
Now, related to that, I know cleaning keg lines is a big issue too. And I know a lot of people never clean their keg lines and their taps and all that. In fact, you go to a lot of commercial breweries and quite often you got good beer being served through keg lines that haven't been cleaned in a month or two. What's your advice there?
Cleaning lines. In fact, we do a lot of tap line cleaning. PBW is a wonderful tap line cleaner. You just run that through. You can run Star Sand through it as well. Most commercial tap line cleaning at bars, yeah, they'll actually just run one product through. They just run a caustic chemical through it or something like PBW through the line. Then they flush it with beer. I'm a big fan, and all of my customers that buy my products are on a different process where they run either the caustic or the PBW through the line. Then they follow it up with SantaClean, which is the low foaming acid anionic. Mm-hmm. And that the two chemicals together do a great job of removing the organic and inorganics. And they have the wicking, the surfactants that allow them to get into the pores of those lines. So those would be my two general recommendations. The other one that it would naturally follow is, how do you clean the tap or the beer spout, you know, in your keg? And just squirt, take a little Star Sand or SantaClean in a spray bottle and squirt it up inside there, and it'll keep them from sticking.
Right. Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't drink enough beer fast enough. And so my kegerator, I do have a kegerator with three beers on tap at any given time, but my biggest problem is breaking those free. And so I found real fast that if I just squirt a little SantaClean up inside of there, it keeps them always moving.
Or you can drink more beer.
Yes. But my wife, she has to ration me.
Ah, excellent. Well, I know a lot of people hate cleaning and sanitizing bottles, so I was hoping you could tell us what's the best way to do that, because, you know, you got 48, 50 some odd bottles to clean for a 5-gallon batch, and it's a big pain in the neck.
You know, people ask me all the time, they say, I hate cleaning bottles, and I say, great, buy new ones.
Buy a keg.
buy a keg, there you go.
That's my best advice.
That's the best advice, yes. You can either soak the bottles in a bucket, or there's these little things that squirt the chemicals inside. And I personally like the one that is the attachment that goes onto my sink, and it's just a little spring loaded and squirts.
Jet spray bottle thing. Yeah. Yep. That works pretty well for pushing water through it.
It does. And then I have a little, I can't even think of what it is. It's a little basin that has the jet. So you put the bottle on it, and then you push the bottle down, and it squirts the chemical up inside of there.
Oh, really? I don't have a chemical one. I got one that just pushes water through the thing. But
well, there's one that hooks up to the sink that is straight for water. Yep. And then I have one that it hooks up to a little bucket, and it pulls the water. It's almost like a squirt gun, believe it or not. Like
that's
a
pretty cool.
Kids super soaker.
Hey, if you can find that thing, put that in the, I'll put it in the show notes.
Okay.
If you send me a link for that or something.
Sure.
I've never seen. So that would allow you to push the sanitizing solution up into the bottle?
Yes. You push the bottle down one or two times, and it squirts up inside, and it coats the inside with the cleaner or the sanitizer.
And of course, you mentioned the other option is to throw it in, just throw it in a bucket with full of sanitizer, right?
Correct. One of the things that I found that works great is I take a plastic stick, and stick it inside. I take a 5-gallon bucket, fill it with the, PBW. And then I have one that I rinse it. And then I have a bucket filled with my sanitizer, and I, will just submerge them down inside and soak it. And that's also a great way to get rid of any labels that are on a bottle.
The sanitizer will take the labels off?
PBW.
Oh, PBW will take the labels.
PBW does a great job of removing labels.
I used to use ammonia, which was very messy.
that does work.
But PBW sounds great. Okay, so we got our bottles clean and sanitized. Somebody told me they used to run them through the dishwasher.
You know, I'm okay with that. The problem I have with the dishwasher,
soap, obviously.
Yeah, the problem I have with the dishwasher is it's not going to squirt inside the bottle. It does a great job of cleaning the outside of the bottles, but trying to get it inside is very difficult. And now I know a lot of people that don't like or have a hard time sanitizing the bottles. So you know what they do? They stick them in the oven.
I haven't heard that one before. So yeah, how do you bake your bottles? What's your recipe? 400
degrees for half an hour.
400 degrees for half an hour. That's pretty hot.
It is, but you need to get, and then it takes a couple hours for them to cool down. But that'll kill anything.
It will. Okay. Well, there's another tip. What are some of the common off flavors you get from not sanitizing? And I know we talked a little bit about this earlier, but not sanitizing properly.
Oh, let's see here. Well, we talked about the acetic stuff. Let's do it in alphabetical order. A sour flavor, right?
Sour vinegar, flavor.
Sours.
That's from the bacteria, right?
Yep. You can get diacetyl actually can come from two different things, improper fermentation and from poor sanitation. So you can get
the diacetyl is the butterscotch flavor. We had Charlie Bamforth on talking about that. That can also come from not cleaning your beer lines.
Correct.
You can get a diacetyl flavor in the beer from not cleaning your tap lines.
You can get pediococcus inside the, or lactobacillus inside those beer lines, and that will produce the diacetyl.
You said it's very common at a lot of bars. You get that flavor.
Yes, it is. DMS is a product that you can get from poor sanitation.
Dimethyl sulfide, right?
Yep.
And what does that taste like? Dimethyl sulfide, tell the folks.
Cabbage.
That's right. Cabbage, cream corn sometimes. Yes.
Let's see here. It is possible to get metallic flavors if you are improperly cleaning your aluminum pots. Phenolic flavors, anyone dealing with phenolic, that's like a clover or spicy, believe it or not, that comes from the chlorine that we were talking about before.
Which can also end up in your water, right?
Yeah. Let's see here.
Too much chlorine in your water when you start can cause that as well. But
chloramines are in the water all the time, and a lot of people use those Camden tablets, which are potassium metabisulfite, which does a really good job of binding with it and pulling it out.
Pulls out what? The chlorine? Or the
Yep. That's what it'll do, is it binds with the chlorine to make it so that... So
Camden tablets, great for wine, not so great for beer, right?
Okay, exactly. You put them in there, but a lot of people will treat water or they'll put it through a carbon filter to try to pull a lot of that out as well.
Oh, the chlorine out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably best way to get rid of chlorine, if you got chlorine in your water, is let it sit overnight, right?
That'll work. Boiling it does a good job of taking rid of that. It depends on if it's bound chlorine or not. If you're using tap water, my tap water... kind of doesn't taste too well. So I always go and buy spring water to brew with. I buy water from the store.
I know sometimes they flush, a lot of times the water place will flush the system with chlorine once a year, which is a risk. So if you happen to be brewing that week, not so good.
Correct. I'm sure I missed a couple of other off odors and flavors that are caused by bacteria due to poor sanitation. I can't think of them off the top of my head.
That's okay. Certainly you get wild yeast in there too, which can create all kinds of interesting flavors.
Yes.
Let's talk about two of our favorites though. What are some special considerations when we actually are purposely trying to create a sour beer, like using lacto or Brett?
Yeah. Actually, I treat those the same I treat everything. The only thing is you need to make sure, because they are going to produce those souring and they can't infect other batches, you need to make sure you clean it properly. You need to make sure you sanitize properly. The same chemicals you're always using are the same ones. Just remember time, temperature, concentration, agitation. If you increase the time, you can decrease the temperature. You can decrease the concentration. If you increase the concentration of the cleaner, increase the time, you're going to get better cleaning. So if you're dealing with lacto or Brett, increase the concentration, double up the cleaner, double up your contact time, and push the temperature. They all have a specific range. Push the temperature to the highest you can get. That's the number one thing, is to make sure you're cleaning it properly. Then use the sanitizer at the highest recommended ratio. Again, they're all specific ranges.
So I guess the main point here, if you're actually working with lacto and Brett, you need to be really careful about how you mixing that in with your regular beers or using that same equipment. I know some people even maintain a complete set of equipment or a partial set of equipment when they're working with lacto or Brett, because it's so easy to get cross-contamination, right?
Yeah. Bristol Brewing in Colorado Springs actually has barrels, kegs, everything that they put skull and crossbones on, because they run different lambics and their sour beers go on certain equipment. They just don't even want to mess with it.
Right.
But it is possible to do it. I know Notting Head in Philadelphia does a lot of sours and deal with a lot of Brett. And when they deal with it, they use it all in the same equipment and they just clean and sanitize properly and they've never had a problem.
What's different about cleaning and sanitation at the commercial scale?
Well, number one, they use pumps. So they don't use anything that has high foaming in it, where home brewers are going to soak, manually clean it or spray. A large brewery, they're going to use a pump and they're going to CIP it, mean clean in place. They're going to recirculate a small amount of solution, say 50 gallons, and that's going to be circulated through a 1,000-gallon tank. So the number one thing is they deal in low foaming products, not high foaming products. The other thing is, depending upon the size, they're going to deal in more liquids where smaller ones deal in more powders because they'll have the drums, 55-gallon drums or even up to a 1,000 or a 5,000-gallon tank that's holding their cleaning solution, and no one ever touches it. It's all automated. They push a button, and it automatically injects the chemicals and the water and goes through the circulation process. And so it can be
easier. I wish I could do that at home. That'd be cool.
Yeah, it would be cool.
Push a button, huh?
Yeah.
Where can a homebrewer learn a little bit more about cleaning and sanitation?
You know, there's some really good resources on the website. Our website, we are constantly improving issuing stuff.
What's that? So I can get it.
www.5starchemicals.com. Spell it all out. FIVESTARCHEMICALS. John Palmer, his How to Brew is a wonderful book on the whole process, but he has some very good recommendations. And his website, too, is constantly being updated.
Yep. HowToBrew.com.
Yep. There's some other radio shows that are constantly discussing it. I know that I was on the Brewing Network a couple of years back and I'm going to do another one here shortly. They have a couple. The Sunday Session does some really good things. And at the end of the day, if you have any specific questions, email me. We have at Five Star, we have a wonderful email address called support. If you send an email to support@5starchemicals.com, it comes into our team and we find the answers for you. Either it'll come directly to me or one of the other people on staff. If it's something we don't know, we research it so we can find the answer for you.
Well, while we're on the topic, would you be willing to say a few words about Five Star Chemicals? A little bit about what you're doing.
You know, we're busy. We're just exploring. You mentioned at the beginning that I was just over in Belgium. We are officially launching our products. So I think we're all over the world now for home brewers and starting to do brewery products throughout all of Europe. We're down in Australia. What most people don't know is that we do a lot more than just home brewers or microbreweries. Five Star started off as a company designing cleaners and sanitizers for food and beverage, primarily large food processing plants, turkey facilities, potato fields. We got into potato the brewing. Field. Potato fields, believe it or not.
Tell me about that.
Okay, I won't.
potato fields.
You know, we're soil chemists. That's right. What we do. And so we keep the food supply in the United States clean. And we moved into the brewing industry through some very large breweries, got into the microbreweries when that took off in the mid-90s, and then have developed products specifically for the home brewers that we've been using in the craft brewing industry.
And your products again?
Well, we have numerous products. We have what?
For the homebrewers, primarily.
primarily we sell in the home brewing industry, we sell PBW, which is the cleaner.
Right.
Star San, Santa Clean. Let's see here. 5-2 Super Moss HB is the homebrew version. Oh, the
5-2 stabilizer. Yeah.
Yep. pH stabilizer. We do iodine, which is our IoStar product. And just brand new to the market is our defoamer. We've usually only have sold this to large craft breweries, but we're now selling our defoamer 105 in little 2-ounce bottles for homebrewers as well. There could be one or two other ones I'm missing. There's a couple products in R&D right now. Hopefully we'll hit the market in the next year. So those will be exciting, but I'm not going to spill the beans on what those are yet. So we do a lot of other things. We're constantly out there making products for people. Some of the most fun I have is when homebrewers call me up because they use our products, but professionally they do something else and they have a problem that they need help with. And so I either develop products specifically for them in their industry. We do some car automotive products, and we just have fun solving people's problems.
And John didn't like to say it, but he's the CEO too, right?
Yes, I do run the company.
Well, John, is there anything else you'd like to add?
I just want to say thank you, Brad. This has been a wonderful opportunity to sit down and have a nice chat with you. And it's always fun catching up. And I think that what you guys do in the industry and educating the brewers around the world is a wonderful thing. And so anything that Five Star can do to help, we are here to help you. So
thank you, John. Yeah, I'm just one guy in my basement, but I really appreciate you being on the show. Thank you very much for being here.
You're welcome.
Taking time out of your busy day. Again, that was John Herskovitz. He is a chemical engineer from the University of Colorado. He is also the CEO of Five Star Chemicals, and he's been doing this for over 10 years. Well, a huge thank you to John Herskovitz for agreeing to appear on the show. I really appreciate him being here. I'd like to remind you that we do have some updates for Beersmith coming here in the fall, as well as our mobile version, which is out already. Also remind you, you can sign up for our newsletter at beersmith.com. Just use the little box on the right-hand side, and we'll send you an article on homebrewing every single week. I'd like to thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great brewing week.